This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. San Antonio is becoming a major hub for data centers, digital warehouses that power everything from cloud storage to artificial intelligence, crypto mining. And while they're essential for our modern economy, the pace of their expansion on the city's far west side is raising new questions about water use, electricity demand, and long-term planning. District 6 Councilmember Rick Alvan says the industry's rapid growth has outpaced the city's public policy. He's filed a council consideration request calling for a comprehensive review of how data centers are reshaping San Antonio and what tools the city needs to guide that development responsibly. Galvan wants city leaders to take a hard look at zoning, permitting, environmental practices, impacts, and the strain that it has on CPS Energy and SAWS. A typical mid-sized data center can use hundreds of thousands of gallons of water every day, the same as thousands of homes. And the statewide demand is projected to grow nearly ninefold over the next 5 years. As San Antonio continues to attract major tech investments, what are we prepared to give up in order to provide for this? What are the resource demands that we need to plan for? And should the city and can the city set guardrails before data centers expand even further? Joining us now in the studio to talk about his proposal and what he's hearing from his residents, District 6 Councilmember Rick Galvan. And Councilmember Galvan, welcome to The Source.
Thank you so much, David. Glad to be here.
What put this topic on your radar?
Yeah, so this is something that's been very important to me. Of course, on the campaign trail, we heard a lot from residents, particularly in the Westover Hills area, in District 6, as well as throughout, right, that there's concerns about this growing industry, not only in our city, but nationwide too, and statewide. Seeing concerns about water impacts to our local communities, seeing concerns about electricity rates going up and the demand increasing, and particularly these centers being some of the strongest entities that are demanding this energy and water usage. So there was questions about how can our city get more involved in this work? How can we prepare to not be like Phoenix or not be like Virginia that's in the back end already, but to be a bit more proactive in addressing this growth and ensuring that's a good balance here for energy and water usage as well as for our economic drivers?
So you can call in with your questions and comments for Councilmember Rick Galvan. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. You mentioned Phoenix. Mm-hmm. The city of Phoenix put in ordinances that require data centers. They have to recirculate the water. They can't be wasteful with the water. They have to conserve their water. Phoenix, you know, of course, is in a desert, mm-hmm. And they're in a worse off situation than we're in when it comes to water. But yet they've managed to do that. So do you think that is something that can be done in San Antonio?
I think it's definitely worth exploring, and I think it's something that is very doable here. We know SAWS has their programs for the purple pipes, right, to recycle water and to ensure that certain buildings or entities are using that. I think it's worthwhile to explore what ways that we can work with data centers here in our community as well as the growing pipeline of data centers to say, hey, maybe this is something that we are either required to do or something that we can see that we can encourage them to do more often. That way we know that they're, at least the water there is being recycled and it's not constantly using the aquifer or something of the sort.
The state of Texas has pretty much adopted a hands-off approach when it comes to trying to regulate these data centers. In fact, they're trying to encourage them and telling them that you can pretty much do whatever you want and use as much water and as much electricity as you want. And I wonder even if the state will allow the city to pass ordinances to try to make them conserve water and electricity. I mean, can they?
Yeah, it's a great question, and it's partially why we filed the city council consideration request, right? It's my first one, and I jumped into 300,000 gallons of water with a big splash for my first CCR, but I'm glad to do it because it's something that affects my district as well as the entire community. And in particular, it's asking the question, right? What tools do we have? What abilities can we actually utilize here? And I think we're unique here in San Antonio. We have our public utilities here. Why not ask some questions that our Water Development Board at the state has been struggling to get, which is how much water do these new entities need versus looking at historical data? How do we be proactive? Because the state is using old data. How can we ask for new ones and ones that the current data is going to be needed to help supplement the work at the state level?
Right, because the city of San Antonio owns SAWS and CPS Energy.
Right.
That you have greater access to information than other cities that have private utilities do not. And you can also put in more regulation at that level mm-hmm. that other places can't. So there needs to be discussion.
Exactly.
And that's what you're doing. Let's go to some callers. We've got a bunch here. Let's go to Jennifer. And Jennifer, thanks for calling in. You're on the air with Councilmember Rick Govan.
Hi, Rick. I appreciate your efforts in this regard because the use of all the electricity and the water, it really disturbs me. And as a lifelong San Antonian, I really want to preserve, especially our water, and I'm behind you. Whatever you can do to preserve and protect our water, I sure appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, Jennifer, thank you for that call. Councilman, are you hearing things like that all over?
Yes, I'm very grateful. You know, there's sometimes, as a new council member especially, right, where you wonder if you're doing the right things here and there, especially in your first few months. And I'm very proud that during our town hall with the mayor last week at John Jay High School, I was able to introduce the CCR there to a lot of my residents. And there was extreme excitement about it because it's just a matter of fact that whether you're on in the view of, well, I think that's still a good economic driver, I don't want to disturb it, or you're in the concern of, well, I want to see what's going to happen to our environment, both say, but it's worth exploring, it's worth understanding, and it's worth the city getting involved to either grow this economy and or balance the natural resource aspect of it. So I'm very grateful that I have a good team around me to remind me of how we can get this thing right and that we continue to hear from our residents, whether it's Westover Valley folks or Stonegate Hill folks or throughout the entire district who are asking for this kind of action.
So I have heard Microsoft is one of the big data centers that we have here in the area, and that Microsoft has pledged to be water positive in the area. And a lot of data centers, big names, Meta, have said, we're going to be water positive, but they're not talking about being water positive overall. Mm-hmm. And still, because they're not transparent, it's kind of hard to figure out, like, what do you mean by water positive? But as I've heard that Microsoft is buying up property over the recharge zone, looking to prevent that from being developed, and they're seeing that as actually adding more water to the system than they're actually using. Have you heard that?
I heard bits and pieces, yes. I've been talking to folks with Microsoft and representatives of them, and I really appreciate the conversation because Microsoft's centers are in my district in Westover Hills and a little bit further out on West Military. And a lot of folks in the area, too, have expressed the appreciation for Microsoft's ability to be good neighbors, addressing lighting concerns, tree concerns, all these different things in the area when they build the data center. And so I think this conversation is going to be about making sure that we have a broad stakeholder group, including the folks who are in this work, right, to understand what impacts they're already having, what things they know they're going to impact and need for utility infrastructure, whatever it is, but also the community benefit portion. A good research report that I read from UT Austin's Geoscience School talked about the importance of community benefits and cited Microsoft's ability to do so. And so continue to build on that and saying, not only can we make sure we have local jobs or something of education, but also the conservation part. Let's continue to do that work together. And that way we can mitigate some of these issues that come with a new industry.
Right. And a lot of those big name brand like Microsoft, they are dedicating to try to use green energy
right.
to power their facilities. But there are a lot of smaller, no name brand data centers that are popping up. And they don't have those same commitments. So
right.
I think that's where the concern really comes from. Let's go to another caller. Let's go to Henry. And Henry, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, David. I just think that this is a great thing for the city. We are in a power position. We can dictate the terms of the arrangement. They ought to be strictly regulated. We could even say, hey, you got to bring your own water and power. I know that's kind of extreme, but, you know, if you want to live here. And they're not like Walmart putting, like, mom and pop out of business. And I think it would be a plus for the region. It's just that you have to regulate them. You have to assert authority so that they, you know, don't do what you don't want them to do.
All right. Henry, thank you for that. So is San Antonio in the driver's seat here? Do we have that much control? Can we tell them, no, you can't come here?
I really appreciate Henry's comments, in particular the point that we are in the driver's seat here, right? We have a lot of power in this conversation. I think we do. you know, whether or not the state fully agrees with the actions we may be taking, I think having that conversation is worthwhile. I don't see any other cities in our state taking that first step. I don't think it should be a problem for San Antonio to take that step and say, let's see what we can do here, given the fact that we have our utilities under our municipal control. Let's see what we can do here when we have such zoning and permitting laws already on the books. How can we update them to meet the new industry? And let's work with ERCOT and with the Texas Water Development Board and see, hey, there's some gaps there that you have in data. How can we consider support y'all? Because they're concerned too. And so I think it's worthwhile. I think it's a good step. And we'll see what city council as a whole decides. But I'm excited to have the conversation with my colleagues.
But obviously, this is the future mm-hmm. of the economy. And trying to discourage that kind of investment may hurt San Antonio. We also have UTSA, which is very much working on data center development, mm-hmm. Cybersecurity, managing these types of resources. This is part of their academic, what they're working on. It's going to be a big part of their identity, particularly downtown UTSA. So it's probably better off trying to learn how to work with them than work against them, right?
Sure, there can be a bit of both there. I think it's always viable and worthwhile to work with folks and make sure that we're trying to address this so it meets all the needs. Something I thought about when I filed the CCR and I got some immediate pushback from folks was, you know, there's a lot of different entities that were coming around the coming of the century in 1900, railroads, etc. And we still took a step to say, how can we make this work for our communities?
Okay, let's take a break here. We're going to find out more about that. We're going to get Chris on the air if you get a question or comment. Should San Antonio welcome these data centers with open arms, or should we say go someplace else? How do we regulate them, make sure that they are a net benefit and not something that's going to harm the overall community of San Antonio, our water use, our energy use? 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK, and The Source continues after this.
Support for The Source podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at uthealthsa.org.
Have a property past its prime? Consider donating it to Texas Public Radio. It's hassle-free, and you may qualify for a tax write-off, too. Learn more at tpr.careasy.org/realestatedonation.
Public Radio, I'm David Martin Davies. With me in the studio is District 6 San Antonio City Councilmember Rick Galvan. We want to talk about your 100 days plus that you've been a council member. But right now we're focused on what to do about the San Antonio AI data centers, crypto mining, server warehouses. There's a lot going on in this area, and it is basically something that needs to be paid attention to, but I don't think they like the spotlight, but let's figure that out. You can call in with your questions and comments, 833-877-8255. Let's go to Chris. And Chris, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Awesome. This is a great conversation. I'm so thrilled to be a part of it. Solar and battery did for energy what other alternative to groundwater is doing today. Specifically, a technology called atmospheric water generators, where these are machines that can sit outside, pull in air, withdraw the humidity, filter it, et cetera, and then put it back out. These data centers, to me, there are two kind of red flags or bad marks on their record, and that is energy and water. Energy is simple to solve with the solar panels, and water is simple to solve with machines that are currently on the market. Notably, Aquaria Technologies has machines that can go up to 4,200 gallons per day in a region like ours. I never hear about these machines being discussed, and I wonder why we always only think that we must go into the ground to draw water and not think about alternatives, which are in production today.
All right, Chris, I'm going to research that and learn more. So the concern is these data centers need a lot of electricity because they have to be kept cold. These chips that they're running on, if they get warm, they break down. They don't run as well. So they need to keep them really cold. They use the water for cooling. Also, it's a big part of why these things are. They're attracted to San Antonio because of our low-cost electricity, because of CPS Energy, and because of our access to the data lines. San Antonio is a hub for that. So they see this is the sweet spot that they want to come here for. So what are your thoughts on those things?
Yeah, a couple different things. One, I think it's always crucial that during this conversation, you know, when we're talking about an increased demand for energy and water, particularly high increase in demand, right? How do we make sure that the rates that may come with that aren't going to impact our residents too severely and are rather impacting the industries that are requesting this these new rates and this new demand? That's one key piece. Another part of it is that I really appreciate Chris's point about new technologies, something that I've really enjoyed researching with different reports, whether it's from the geosciences at UT Austin or with Purdue, that there is a bunch of technology emerging on how they can do better cooling and energy use. And I think that's crucial to understand and have that conversation about publicly, right, of what is being utilized, what new technology is being utilized. That way we can really see that where we're going with this versus staying in the shadows and not talking about it. So I'm really excited to have that conversation with this policy recommendation. And last quick thing on that is the feedback cycle, right? When we talk about energy production and we're going to need more of it, how do we make sure that energy production is still renewable and is still clean, is not impacting our climate goals too severely? Because what I don't want to see is that we get a new industry here and we say, let's make it all work for us because it brings some good tax revenue in. Great. But if it's giving us a negative feedback loop, or I'm sorry, a positive feedback loop in terms of getting more energy that we can't meet with renewable energy, that's a problem. So we got to figure those pieces out. And that transparency, I think, will make it happen.
Let's go to Caroline. Caroline, you're on the air.
Hi, yes, thank you. Like Chris, the previous caller, I'm excited to be a part of this conversation. I don't know all the ins and outs, but I do think it's important when these contracts eventually get signed that the data centers integrate themselves into the community and not become talked about community or about the community. And what I mean by that is there's all these concerns, red flags about health and the well-being of living and working around data centers. And I know not all those things are known, but I think within the contracts there should be clauses or something set up to where when they become known, they get addressed immediately at the cost of the business, not the taxpayer. And also, just again, to piggyback off of Chris, we should be looking at edge workable solutions and ways, old form, you know, relying on oil and ground energy like we have been, because there's just not enough to go around from what I understand. Thank you very much.
All right, Caroline, thank you for that. So are these data centers, do they just want to be isolated and not part of the community? How are you having conversations with them? What are they telling you about how they want to be part of San Antonio?
Yeah, so I haven't had conversations with every single one of them. There's some of the smaller ones I think about on Petrenko or on Westover Hills that are co-located but are kind of independent in their own. I've talked to some folks with Valero and Microsoft, and both of them, of course, I think have a bit more ability to be more involved in the community, have a bit more means to do so too, whether it's with coordinating with some of the local schools in the area to do some STEM workshops, or it's doing some stuff with tree planting in the community, all these different things that they're able to do. And I appreciate that. But I think it's about system-wide scale, right? What I always talk about with policy solutions that I want to bring to the table is about how we affect a larger scale of this work. And so if it's through our permitting process, if it's through our UDC, Unified Development Code, or it's through our zoning process, we got to figure out if we can to understand, okay, how can we make sure that there are community benefits from this new industry, not just jobs with economic development incentives, but actual planning, land use planning conversations here, because we know that's the biggest concern for all of us.
I've heard from some communities their concern was about the noise of data centers. Are they being built in areas where noise could be a concern?
I don't think they're being built necessarily in an area where noise is a concern at the moment. I think they've strategically picked some places in the district where there's a lot of tree coverage and things that can kind of create some natural barriers in that way. And so I'm appreciative of that. But the larger concern, the same thing that happened in places like in Virginia, where a significant new level of construction was built, right? And they co-locate typically to share the energy cost to address that one piece. But when there's so many next to each other, it's just like any other industrial development. You get a lot of noise, you get a lot of pollution, you get a lot of activity there that can be negative to our communities. So understanding how we can adjust for that proactively before it happens is the most important part. And I think having a frank conversation about how that can happen is what this policy is trying to do.
Let's go to Rebecca. And Rebecca, you're on the air with Councilmember Rick Govan.
Yeah, first I want to thank the City Council and thank the City of San Antonio for electing a young man to our City Council. I'm just really, really happy about that. But all of our, we do have to be concerned about data centers, because when they're close by, all of our electrical rates are at risk of going higher. And definitely data centers use a lot of a non-renewable resource, water. So San Antonio can serve as an example to the nation to put restrictions on data centers. I heard recently that if data centers would get off the electrical grid, use their own sources of electricity during peak use hours, it would really cut back on the electricity that they're using. And I appreciate you letting me make a comment.
All right, Rebecca, thank you for that. Well, one thing about servers and the AI is that they run 24/7. They don't cut back unless they absolutely have to, and we're having brownouts and things like that. And so that's the concern, that they will be running 24/7. They will be using a lot of electricity. In other parts of the country, they have gotten lower rates for electricity than the residents pay for electricity as an incentive. Is that happening here? Are they paying the flat rate? Are they paying special rates? How is that working?
Yeah, so there isn't a full special rate, but CPS Energy does have a kind of a cap at some point, right? Where particularly for large energy users, that after a certain point, they kind of pay a flat rate. And so it doesn't necessarily keep going with the kind of usage they're using. Of course, it continues to grow, and there's still that larger charge than what in terms of the actual quantity and the number to create a residence. But my constant concern, and a lot of my council colleagues have also expressed this these past couple of years, especially with CPS rate requests, is we know that there is a kind of a imbalance in terms of the tiers, in terms of the structure there for rates. And so as we're having this conversation about large industries or other kind of rate requests, I think that's going to be the most important part to make sure that, again, this is not going to impact our residents too directly when the demand is not coming from them.
So you brought this to City Council. City Council works by consensus building. Other council members, are they ready to help you with this and jump on board?
I believe so. I think there's going to be a great conversation about the fact that we do need to get involved in this in some way. We all recognize the concern here. I think the approach is going to be different based on each council person. But I think to the point earlier and the caller earlier who mentioned about that, the power is in our hands to address this proactively. And to the last caller's point, to be that model. And I know I ended the last one before the break about the kind of historical look. We've done this before, not only nationwide, but here in our city, whether it's with different industry, no matter what industry it's been, that especially when they embed themselves and they are embedded within our fabric of our economy, that it's an important part that we say, well, how can we also get a good community benefit from this or ensure that this is being supported to our community in some form? And so I have no fear going forward with this, and I'm excited to talk with my colleagues to make sure that we're all on the same page about it as much as we can be.
So it's projected that by the end of this decade, 2030, that these data centers will be using 7% of all water in the state of Texas. A lot of that water will just be evaporated and lost. Mm-hmm. That water is probably going to be water that's taken away from agricultural use. It will have a penalty for the use of that water. The state of Texas has not included data centers in its overall water plan. It's basically blind to this development. And so what San Antonio is doing is something that other cities, the state of Texas, they just haven't really, you know, grabbed the bull by the horns. So you seem to be right up front taking on this issue that's going to be very impactful for the entire state.
I'm ready for it.
You're ready for it?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, Councilmember Rick Galvan, thank you so much for coming in the studio, giving us this update, and we'll be following up to see how this proceeds. And this is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm going to be at La Tuna Ice House this evening at about 5:30. We're going to be having a community conversation. We're going to hang out and talk about patriotism and how protest and dissent is the highest form of patriotism. Who are the protesters of San Antonio? What are their objectives? How is that part of their patriotic duty? Come out and join us at La Tuna this evening. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thanks for listening.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies. Tim Gutierrez is the show's producer. Additional production support from Steve Short, Ruben Garcia, Yvette Benavides, and Dan Katz, Vice President of News. The Source is made possible with support from the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation. Support for this podcast of The Source comes from Texas Mutual Insurance Company, a workers' compensation provider committed to rewarding policyholders who keep their workers safe and losses low. More at texasmutual.com/TXM Advantage. Texas Mutual. Texans get it.